reading to you from the second chapter of Mark, and with the 27th verse. And he was saying to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Consequently, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, friends, winter's here. I can't help it. It's here. And I don't know about where you people live, but where I live, man, there's 2 or 3 foot of snow up in the mountains. We get 4 or 5 inches, and then the next day or two it melts. And that's fine with me. I don't particularly want to walk in it, and I don't want to drive in it. Well, friends, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I just wish you'd kick off your slippers. Sit back and relax and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the second chapter of Mark, and let's begin reading with the first verse. And when he had came back to Capernaum, several days afterwards it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room, even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 men. And being unable to get him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. But there were some of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and take up your pallet and walk? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your pallet, and go home. And he arose and immediately took up the pallet and went out in the sight of all, so that they were amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Well, I've titled this tonight, Wanting Stretcher Bearers. Well, friends, I want you to know this Jesus is a miracle-working Savior. The lame walk, the blind see, the dead live again, and yes, even the winds obey him. You know why I know this is so true? When I was attending Bible college back in the late 50s, I was roofing in the daytime and going to the college at night. Well, I was doing real well for a while. And one day, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I started running a fever. I'm up on this roof, and I'm just feeling awful. Well, I worked the rest of the day, and I went home. I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't feel like going to school now. I don't feel good, period. Well, my temperature went up, and the next morning my temperature was down. Got my clothes on, ate breakfast, and went to work. About 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I started running temperature, and I was chilled, and I just felt terrible. But I finished the day, and I went home. And boy, that night, I am terribly sick. My wife said, well, you've got to go to a doctor. Oh, not me. You know, Cecil don't want to go to doctors because he don't like pain. Well, anyway, the next day I was out in, Fontana, and it was real hot that day. And I was working, and at 2 o'clock, my temperature went way up, and I started chilling. So I went down, and I had a Chrysler New Yorker with a tremendous heating system. I rolled all the windows up, and I turned the heater on. Now, it was 90-some on the outside, and I laid there, and I woke up, and I was just shaking like a leaf. So I finally was able to drive home. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know what's the matter, but I am so terribly sick. She said, well, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're taking you to the emergency. Well, they took me down there, and they x-rayed me, and sure enough, I had a big old lung tumor. Well, I remember, friends, this was so plain. I was frightened. I'm going to tell you the facts. I was one frightened guy. And I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, you called me to preach. I surrendered. And I came down there prepared to be a preacher for the gospel. Now I've got a lung tumor. But Lord, you know, I honestly believe that you have the power to heal me and to put me back on my feet again. Now, you know, friends, I relaxed immediately. I knew that that prayer got through. I just knew that I was going to be well again. Well, for 3 months I suffered. Boy, how I suffered. And the doctors finally gave me up to die. But did you know what? King Jesus healed me. No, I didn't go to Benny Hinn or Oral Roberts or those people. I went to the one that does the healing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, listen. The Bible said even the winds and the waves obey him. You remember when they were out in a Gadara and when they were coming back? Disciples were working long, and Jesus was tired. He'd been preaching all day, so he went down, went to sleep. And all of a sudden, a huge, huge storm come up. Boy, oh boy. And let me tell you what, these guys were not inexperienced seamen. They'd been fishing. That was their livelihood. They knew how to keep a boat upright. But it just got out of hand. And boy, they went down and woke Jesus up. Lord, Lord, look, we're going to perish. And Jesus said, oh, you guys of little faith. He held his hand out, peace be still. And the water subsided and was as clear and as smooth as a lake. And they thought, my stars in the morning. He has control over the weather. And, beloved, listen to me. He has control over the weather even today. You know what? I believe a lot of these hurricanes and a lot of these storms and things like that is God still trying to get people's attention. Oh, yes, I believe that. He's trying to get America's attention. But I don't know if America's listening or not, but I tell you, they'd better. I'll tell you for sure. You Christians who go to church and are just nominal people, you go there and hear a preacher and you come home and live the rest of the week, go to prayer meeting. I'm going to tell you right now, there's more to Christianity than just going to church and reading your Bible, I'll guarantee you. He has a job for you. He wants you to be a stretcher bearer. Well, a miracle demonstrating authority. He had power and he had responsibility. Now, the authority of Jesus to forgive sin, the power of Jesus to heal, and the responsibility of believers to bring others to Jesus. That's where you and I fit in. Every blessed born-again Christian should be a stretcher bearer. And I know you say, well, Cecil, I'm frightened, and I don't know much about the Bible, and you know how it is. No, I don't. I never had the education that a lot of preachers, oh my stars, no. But you know, I knew God called me. So, he said if he calls you, he'll give you the tools for the trade. Now, if you're born again, I'm telling you, you have a responsibility to Jesus to go out and be a stretcher bearer for Christ. You are called, you are demanded, you are commanded. So am I. Well, now here's four burden men. I mean, they couldn't understand what's going on. This place was packed to the ceiling. Well, Jesus has been gone for a while now. The people were crowding in to hear what he had to say. So what did they do? They got up on that roof. Now, there's where I'm happy. I've spent a lot of my years up on a roof. And they said, well, we just got to chop a hole in it. Now, that takes time, takes money. They had to repair that roof. But they didn't care. They wanted to get their friend to Jesus. And when they lowered that down in through the roof, oh, what did Jesus said? My sons, your sins are forgiven. Now, many things we don't know about these four guys. We don't know their names. We don't know their ages, their positions in life, nor the duration of their faith in Christ. What we do know about them, they were concerned about a sick friend, and they believed Christ would meet his need. Friends, can I share something with you? I've told this story before, but it's worth telling it again. I love to tell it. Years and years ago, the morning that I was saved, I went up on the, after I went home to see my wife, took a bath and got something to eat, I went up to a project where I was roofing it. And I had got this man, this young alcoholic, a job painting these houses. Well, I went up and I told him, I said, Bill, guess what? I joined the church this morning. He said, what? It's 7 o'clock in the morning? Are you nuts? Well, that's not what I meant to say. I went to a preacher. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, shoot, Cecil. I used to sing in the choir in the Methodist church back in Ohio, and he went on. I said, yeah, but you don't have what I got, Billy. Well, to make a long story short, I witnessed to him and his family. I witnessed, till I was almost tired. Well, they were always, his drinking kept him and his family broke. And I would take groceries over to him. I'd give them money. I wanted so badly for Bill to come to know Jesus. Well, this particular time, Sunday morning, I decided that I was going to take him to church one way or another. I felt the Lord impress me to go get him and take him to church. He said, I can't go to church. The only pair of pants I have has a hole in the seat of them, and it's big, about the size of a 50-cent piece. I said, you're going to church, Bill, one way or another, dead or alive. I got him in the car, and I took him to church. And I said, well, now, he don't want people to see that hole in his pants. So I walked right behind him, real quick, kind of goose-stepped him into the church. Well, the pastor preached a wonderful message on salvation that day, which he always did. And I used to smoke like a steam engine, see? So I had a coughing attack. So I got up and went out of the church to get a drink of water, and as I was getting ready to come back into the church, they were singing Just As I Am. So I didn't go in. I didn't want to disturb anything, and I noticed Bill standing by my wife, beside my wife, and he had his songbook upside down, and he was trying to sing Just As I Am. All of a sudden, he slammed that book down in the seat and walked down the aisle with that hole in his pants just shining. And he gave his heart to Jesus. Oh, my friends, so I know how these four burdened men felt about this paralytic. Because that night, did you know, Bill brought his wife back to church, and she too gave her heart to Christ. Well, when people do not go, people die in their sins. They were burdened enough to go to take that man there because they knew that Jesus could heal that man and make him well. They sure did. See, today most are going, is left up to the pastors to do the job. Boy, I hope you don't depend on it. And I'm not saying that to put down pastors, because there's some good pastors in this world, and there's some lazy ones that should be taken out of the pastorate. Believe me, they don't visit, they don't go. It says in Acts 8:4, therefore, those who have been scattered went about preaching the word. Listen, why do you think all these persecutions came upon the Christians? Because they were comfy. They were in their little church and they were just happy-go-lucky, having their little dinners and stuff. He said, that's not what you're called to do. Now you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Well, the Bible tells us that all believers are to be ministers. We read in Ephesians 4:11-12, I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong. Every one of us are called to be ministers of the gospel who have been born again. Now, in verse 4 it says, and being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. Well, here they knew where Jesus was preaching. So they said, the only hope that we have right now is we've got to get our friend to Jesus. Oh, beloved, I wish that you'd make that a prayer in your daily life. God, give me holy boldness. Lord, fill me with your spirit. And Father, help me to be a soul winner for Jesus. Oh, God will honor that prayer. Oh, yes, he will. He'll put you in a position where you can witness and you can win souls to Christ. Well, the house was too crowded, and so what were they going to do? Well, they didn't let that obstacle take them down. They found the solution, and they went to work. The roof provided a route to get their friends to Jesus. This was costly, friends. The roof must be taken up. And whatever the cost, we must go get people to Christ, regardless of the cost. You've heard me say this 100 billion times. There is no place in the Christianity for lazy, tight-fisted men and women. I've said this 1 million times too. If Christians would quit stealing from God and give as he told us to give, there wouldn't be nobody out there selling cakes and having car washes like they do here in town. There would be enough money to send missionaries all over the world. There'd be enough money to establish churches and pay pastors a living salary. I don't think pastors should be overpaid, but I don't think they should be underpaid either. You know, I've never been paid a lot to preach, and I don't really care, because I know God will supply my needs. If I do his bidding, he'll do mine. Well, when Jesus saw their faith, boy, oh boy, he went to work and he healed the man. Listen, here's what he said. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. First things first. Forgiveness has priority with God. Did you notice that? Salvation, then healing. Did you get that? Salvation, then Benny Hinn, did you hear that? Don't take these heathens up there and tell them they're going to be saved, we're going to be healed without being saved. Don't make sense. Now, the reaction of the scribes in verse 6 and 7. But there were some of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart. Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, he was God in the flesh. Now, the authority of Jesus to forgive sin we find in 9 and 10. Which is easier to say, the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and take up your pallet and walk? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise up, take up your pallet and go home. Oh, my stars in the morning. Oh, friends, listen. There's great rejoicing over the conversion and the healing of a lame man. Heaven rejoiced. The man rejoiced. The four who brought him rejoiced. Who waits for you to come and bring them to Jesus? Beloved, let me ask you. I don't mean to be hard on you, but listen. If you're born again, I don't care if you've been a Christian 20 years, 5 years, 100 years. Don't make a difference to me. And if you really have not been burdened to witness or burdened to try to introduce a soul to Christ, you sure haven't been living for Christ. I'm not saying you're not born again. I didn't say that. And there have been many listening to this broadcast who are born, have been as by fire. That's right. You're going to get in by the skin of your teeth, but you'll get in. But wouldn't you rather be able to lay some sheaves at the Master's feet? Oh, friends, that's the joy. I always tell these men and women in prison, folks, you know, someday when we're walking the streets of gold, I'll be able to look out there and I'll see you, I'll see you. Oh, I remember you. Yes, you were converted to Christ over in Jefferson County Prison or in Lyman Prison or wherever it was. Then I said, I'm going to invite you over to our mansion. You're going to have one too, of course. And we're going to sit down and we're going to have a glass of iced tea and we're going to sit and we're going to rejoice for a while about Jesus and thank him so much for saving our wretched souls. Friends, you know, all these things I know are true because not only did he forgive my sins, he delivered me from the rotten curse of alcohol. Yes, and he even delivered me from cigarettes. You say, no, my stars in the morning. Cecil, are you going to get on that kick? Not at all. Not at all. If you want to smoke, go ahead. But I want you to know you're going to probably get there a lot quicker than you planned on. Because cigarettes do kill. My father-in-law died at 41 with a lung tumor. Oh, I'm telling you, that's a horrible, horrible death. And your lungs get as hard as leather and they don't have any, they can't breathe, they can't. But anyway, friends, listen. I'm going to have a word of prayer with you right now and let's talk to the Lord about this. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for these men that were bearers. They took this man in and he got healed and he got saved. Or saved and healed, that's the best way to put it. And then, Lord, he walked out of there with his pallet on his back. Thank you, Father, for being that kind of a person, for being a miracle-working Savior. Lord, I'm praying tonight for some of my brothers and sisters listening to this broadcast, wherever it might be, who are born again, and they know Jesus, but, Lord, they've been so slack in their witnessing and their lack of concern about men and women going to hell. Father, I pray this very hour that you'll bring Holy Spirit conviction upon their hearts, that they might surrender and say, yes, Lord, I'm that one that Cecil was talking about. I'm willing to try. I'm going to take my hands off my life and let you lead me. And I know, Lord, that they'll be so happy, much more happy, to be able to introduce the soul to Christ or just witness. Oh, what a joy. Now, Father, I do pray that they will listen tonight and for those who are unsaved tonight will listen and will yield their hearts to Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Well, friends, listen, you say, well, Cecil, I tell you what, I am one of those lost church members. I read my Bible and I believe it. I believe in God. Well, friends, there's a difference between believing on God and believing in God and accepting me into your heart. He has to live in your heart before you're really born again, before your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. You must be born again. So here's the game plan. If tonight you feel a real tugging at your old heart, and you say, oh, Cecil, my life has been so wasted. I've done nothing. I'm such a disgrace. Ah, but God loves you. Sure he does. And he wants you to come and confess that you're a sinner, and he wants you to ask him to come into your heart. He won't force his way in. You have to ask him. So here's the way the prayer goes. Please don't pray it, dear friend, if you don't mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done to you and to my family. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you met that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Friend, I don't care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. If you feel I can help you, please give me a call. 303-471-8534. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear friends, for listening tonight. Oh, I prayed that we said something that would encourage your heart. Oh, I want you to know God loves you. And if you're lost tonight, He wants you to come to Him. He wants to give you peace and joy. He wants to write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. And He wants to give you that mansion in glory, because everyone who knows Him will have one. And beloved, you know what? He's coming back. Boy, He is coming back. And you better be ready. Because if you're not ready, you'll go through a terrible 7 years of horrible, horrible times. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to continue to pray for my wife and I and my quartet as we go to prisons and churches and rescue missions all over the country, telling the people about Jesus. And be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.